You may be seated. Well, I too want to extend my warm welcome to you all on this first Sunday of October. My name is Mike Bartosek. I am one of the pastors here in the area of congregational life. And it is my privilege to be able to open up God's Word to you this morning. I want to welcome those who are joining us online and those up in the chapel. This morning, we not only gather around God's Word, but we will gather around His table. Be mindful of that we get to join together around the table of the Lord and celebrate communion this morning. Today, we continue on our series on the one another's. And we get to focus on encouraging one another today. So my prayer is that this message this morning will be an encouragement to you. Encouragement is so important. Why is encouragement important? Well, I believe because it lifts us out of places of isolation where we feel like we're alone. It strengthens our bond within community. And it propels us forward as we together follow Jesus. Throughout Scripture, we're encouraged to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, encourage one another and build one another up. In Proverbs 12:25, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. This morning, our text comes out of the book of Hebrews. And just a little background to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews was written to the early Jewish Christians. And these Jewish believers were scattered across the Roman Empire. And so the book of Hebrews reminds us of the superiority of Jesus. That Jesus is that perfect high priest and offering a once-for-all sacrifice for sin. And so as we come around the table, we are mindful of that. That through his life, through Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, Jesus launches us into a new and better covenant, one far superior to the covenant of the law. And so we're going to read our passage for this morning. It's taken out of Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 through to 25. I'd invite you to stand as we read God's Word. Hebrews 10:19-25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may have a seat. Well, the theological implications of this passage in Hebrews is profound, particularly for the original Jewish audience who once lived under the law and now have a new freedom to, with confidence, approach the throne of grace. Here, the writer of Hebrews reminds us not only who Jesus is, but what he has accomplished. That Jesus is both our high priest and he is the sacrificial lamb. Through his work, all believers now have access to the most holy place. And because of what Jesus has done, we have confidence that we can approach. Instead of shrinking back in fear, his blood cleanses us, making it possible for us to approach God with a pure heart. And the beautiful thing is that we can build our lives on this solid foundation. We can have confidence in the hope that we have. And so these theological truths that are just highlighted here in Hebrews chapter 10 are foundational to our faith. And we understand that when we talk about faith in Jesus, that is a personal faith, that we come to a decision that each one of us must make. Do we know, do we believe and trust that Jesus is who we read about in the Bible? Do we know, do we believe, and do we trust that through his death and resurrection, we have been given the privilege to draw near to God? And so we talk about a personal faith in Jesus. However, Hebrews also highlights a communal dimension to our faith journey. We see here and throughout Scripture that it is faith in God that isn't meant to be a solitary experience. In fact, more than just not being a solitary experience, our faith thrives in community. And so we enter our focus on encouragement with these communal aspects of the passage. And that's what I'm going to focus on today, is the communal aspect of this. And from this passage, I suggest that there's three powerful invitations or encouragements that we can do to encourage one another as we travel this journey. And I've called them the lettuce passages. I'm not sure if we have a head of lettuce on our... No. I asked Daniel, if you think you could put a head of lettuce in there, you could put a head of lettuce in there. The lettuce passages. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. What I like about these is that they call us to action. They call us to do something. And more than just call us to do something, they call us to do something together. And so this morning, I've taken these three lettuce passages and I've simplified them into three invitations. Come with, come in, and with enthusiasm, come on! And I'm going to illustrate some of these from some of my experiences. And so in the summer of 2022, I was one of a seven-person team that participated in a mountain trail running race called the Sinister Seven. It was a 160-kilometer nonstop race over 24 hours. And not only did we go 160 kilometers horizontally, but we went vertically over 6,000 meters during the course of that race. It was through the mountains of southern Alberta. Now, reflecting on Hebrews 10 and this experience in running, I can't help but see some parallels. Just like preparing for and participating in a demanding race like the Sinister Seven, our faith journey needs encouragement. We need togetherness. We participate together. And if you're on the journey of faith, much like when we were on this journey together, you cannot discount the fun factor. You have to have fun. We have to have fun in the journey of faith together. And sometimes it's through encouragement that we realize that we're not alone and we can have fun. So the first encouragement is come with. Draw near to God. Have you ever been invited to join someone in an activity or a journey? It can make all the difference, that invitation. So in the fall of 2021, Pastor Dave came to me and he said, hey, Mike, would you like to be part of the Sinister Seven in July? Let's do that together. Now, in my head, I kind of had an idea of what it was. In my head, I was like, no way. Like, seriously? No. But for whatever reason, out of my mouth came, okay. Not a real confident okay, but an okay. What made the difference in that invitation to come with was that he said, let's do this together. Let's run together. If Dave would have said, hey, Mike, in July there's this 160-kilometer race, I think you should do it. That is a very different invitation. There's not a lot of come with in that invitation. More a lot of should. Probably with that kind of invitation, I might have said, yeah, thanks for that suggestion. I'll get back to you on that. Or I would have been like, yeah, I don't know. This idea of come with goes way beyond running a race. It's a reflection of a deeper spiritual truth that we see here in Hebrews. Let us draw near to God. Let us come to God. Let's do that together. This was a revolutionary concept for the original audience of the book of Hebrews. And that's why the writer of Hebrews says that because of what Jesus has done, we can have confidence to draw near to the throne of God. This whole idea of come with is the idea of let's do this together. And so we see this elsewhere in Scripture, and there's this really beautiful example of this. It's found in John chapter 1, verses 43 to 46, where there is an interaction between Philip and Nathanael. Philip had encountered Jesus, and Jesus had called him to follow him. And Philip was sure that he was the one that Moses and the prophets had wrote about. And so he goes to his friend Nathanael, and he says, come. Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip didn't debate him. He didn't argue with him. He didn't say, you should go. He said, come and see. Come with me. Let's go together. Come and see. And Jesus did the rest. Jesus met with Nathanael and drew him in. And so I want to challenge you to think about your own journey of faith. Who was it that invited you to take that first step? Who was it that said, come with me. Let's go and see who Jesus is. Can you think about who that was? Can you picture them? I'd like you to maybe make a plan later today. Maybe they need to hear from you about what that invitation meant. That it's not like, hey, you should go and run 160 kilometers. Because that seems pretty daunting. But come with me and let's do this together. The person who did that for you. There may be people that you know that maybe would benefit from you inviting them to come with so that they can draw near to God. Perhaps the barriers of sin and tradition may make it think that they cannot draw near to God. And perhaps your invitation for them to come with you may make an eternal difference. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you to consider not only who invited you, but who you might invite to come with, to meet with Jesus. The second encouragement is to come in. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Earlier in the book of Hebrews, the writer says, we have this hope that is an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. We have a hope that we hold on to that is not just wishful thinking. It is a certain hope, anchored in a solid rock of Jesus Christ. It is a hope that we build our lives on. And we sang about Jesus being our living hope. Jesus tells a parable about two builders, one that built their house on the rock and one that built their house on the sand. We want to be wise builders who build our lives on the hope, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And as we prepare for communion this morning, we recognize that we are called to a living hope that has conquered sin and death and the grave. I see where this call to come in, to experience this living hope, to hold on to hope, can be connected to another part of our passage today, where it says, don't neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. For the early Christians, there was this pressure to maybe go back to the old ways, to neglect or to give up coming together as a community of faith. And so we're encouraged to continue meeting together. Now, we got to understand what this is saying and what it isn't. It isn't about guilting people into attending every single church event. If the doors are open, we have to be there. No, it is about being involved regularly in the life of the church. A beautiful way to do that is within a trusting, smaller community within the church, where we feel like it's safe for us to share when we feel like we're losing our grip on hope, and we can have others come around us. If I go back to that Sinister Seven race, there was something that was really cool that happened. As I said, it took place over 24 hours. There was a member of our team always running. And when we came to pass the baton, if you will, the little chip, the whole team showed up. Even at 2 in the morning, we all got out of our sleeping bags, rolled out of our tents, and we showed up. And it was such an encouragement for the runner who was coming in and finishing their leg, for the runner who was going out, that the whole team was there, cheering them on. Go, you can do it. Come on. It's that kind of encouragement that keeps us going, even when we're tired, even when we feel like we don't have what it takes. This is the kind of support that we can give to one another within the church. And this is where friendships, mentorships, triads, or small groups can come into play. For instance, a small group is a wonderful setting to rally around people when they're going through good times or tough times. We have a small groups ministry here, I know, because I'm the pastor responsible for it. If you're not in a group, I would encourage you to go to our website, come and talk to me about getting into a group. If you are in a group, you know the power of having people come around you, rally around you, support you, love you, encourage you, help strengthen your grip when your grip is getting weak. We see a beautiful illustration of this kind of community found in Scripture, and it comes from the story of Ruth and Naomi. In Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 to 18, we see how after losing her husband and two sons, Naomi is discouraged, and she tells her daughter-in-laws to return to their families. Orpah leaves, but Ruth clings to Naomi, and she says this. She says, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God." Ruth refused to leave Naomi. She held on, not just to Naomi, but to her God and to her faith. And so this is kind of a real extreme example of what community can look like. But isn't that beautiful? To know that there are places where we go, no, I am with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to walk away. This is a kind of commitment and support we can give to one another within this kind of community of deeper levels. Where have you been invited in? Who has invited you in to deeper community? And what is the difference that that has made in your life? Where can you invite someone in? Where can you say, come in, come join me. Let's hang on together. Let's hold on to hope together. Let's hold on to the hope we have in Jesus Christ together. Our third invitation, again, with energy. And not like, come on, man, but come on, you can do it. I remember when I was running, Pastor Dave, now Pastor Dave, you can call me this if you want. Pastor Dave calls me Mikey. And I remember running to the finish line and hearing Dave go, come on, Mikey! You know what? How many of us need to hear, come on, you can do it. You're doing great. Come on. You got this. We need that encouragement. And this is our last let us passage. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. This is a powerful call to action. This, out of all of them, is the most active one. And this word consider comes in the English, it's consider. In the Greek, it's kataneo. I'll give it another try. Come on, I can do it. Katanoio, and it means pay close attention. And George Guthrie, in his commentary on Hebrews, explains it like this. He says, believers are to rivet their attention on the need for conscious activities of encouragement among those in the Christian community. Rivet their attention. Have you ever had riveted attention? On Thursday night, I was here working on my sermon, and I came down because there was a games night happening. I just needed to stretch my legs, so I came down from the office, and there was a group of young adults playing Dutch Blitz. I don't know if some of you are here this morning, but there was a group playing Dutch Blitz. Now, we play Dutch Blitz in our family, and our daughter, Lauren, is crazy. She is just... So when you think of riveted attention, if you've ever seen someone play Dutch Blitz, like there's the three cards and then they're putting their cards out, and their attention is riveted on the table. Now imagine if we were to encourage one another like we were playing Dutch Blitz. So we would walk out of the sanctuary into the lobby, the hospitality area, and we would be like, who can I encourage? I mean, it would be kind of funny to watch if we went out from here and we were riveted in our attention on how we could encourage someone. Where can I find someone to encourage? It would be fun to watch. It would probably turn into a competition about who could get the most encouragement. So we don't want to do Dutch Blitz style encouragement. But we do want to encourage one another. Look for ways. Rivet our attention on those around us so that we can encourage them. Be intentional. Be sincere. This kind of focused encouragement motivates us to keep going. These are the spurs of encouragement. In Hebrews 10, the word for spur, I'm going to try another Greek word. Can I do it? Yeah, right on. Thank you. Paroxysmon is the Greek word for encouragement, spurs. And it can mean irritation. Used in other contexts, it can mean irritation. But in this context, it means motivation. And let me share one last image from our race in 2022. I was the last runner in our team, and it meant that I had the privilege of crossing the finish line. And if you can imagine Dave going, "Come on, Mikey!" That was what was going through my head, through my ears, as I got to cross the finish line for not just my leg of the race, but for the whole team. And there's another guy. He's on my left to your right. We ran the last 10 to 12 kilometers together. And we got to know each other. We got to share a little bit of stories between our breathless running. There were times when we ran side by side. There was times when he was ahead, I was ahead. As we got to the last kilometer of the race, he was ahead of me. And he was starting to fade. He was starting to slow down. So much so that when I got to him, he was walking. And when I came up beside him, my new friend, I said to him, I said, "No! We can't walk across the finish line. Come on, let's go." And for a couple of 50-plus guys, we sprinted as much as sprinting we could across the finish line together. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." About Jesus, it says this: "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." The writer gives us this image of running in a race. And friends, there is a finish line. There is a finish line. As we gather around the table, one of the instructions that we have is we are to do this until he comes. Until he comes. There is a finish line. And we can get tired. And we can get weary. Look up. Look to the finish line. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Look to him. Look beside you to the people who are running with you. They can encourage you. You can encourage them. Until that day, until he comes, come on. We can do this together. Let's go. Come on. As we conclude this morning, I want to encourage you to think about these three invitations: come with, come in, and come on. We were created for this journey. And we were created not to journey as solo adventurers, soloists, but we were created to do this together. And I believe encouragement is essential. As I said at the beginning of this message, the reason why we encourage is to lift people out of places of isolation, strengthen our bonds within community, and propel others and ourselves forward as we journey together in following Jesus. And so I want to make a practical homework for us as we go from here. I'd like you to, this week, reflect on a couple questions. Who extended these invitations to you? Think about those who have said, "Come with," or "Come in," or "Come on," in your life. Who's invited you to walk alongside them? Who's welcomed you into deeper community? Who's spurred you on when you needed encouragement? How have their encouragements and invitations impacted your faith and your journey with Jesus? Take a moment to encourage them in return by expressing your gratitude to them. The second invitation is, who could you extend these invitations to? Who around you might need an invitation of encouragement to join you in life, or even more importantly, in faith? Who might benefit from an invitation to walk with them, to welcome them into a deeper relationship, or motivate them to take the next step in their journey? These questions hopefully will respond with gratitude and action as we receive and we give encouragement. This week, I want to encourage you to take time to share a come with, a come in, or a come on to someone in sincerity, because we travel together and we need the encouragement from one another to keep going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the opportunity to approach the throne of grace with confidence. As we come to the table this morning, that we can come knowing that you have made a way for us to approach the throne of grace. Father, we thank you for those in our life who have opened up opportunities for us to join with them in faith, in life, in hope. Those who have encouraged us, challenged us. Those who have ran beside us. Those who are running beside us. Thank you for them, Lord Jesus. Give us eyes to see those around us who need that encouragement. We pray these things for your honor and for your glory. Amen.